In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We've had a lot of reasons to be depressed and dispirited in the last several months. I remember when the lockdown was underway, when I was driving around noticing that people were driving slow, even though there wasn't that much traffic. You know, they were driving like the virus was slowing them down or something like that, but I think it was because people were just stunned by what was going on. And even though the concerns about the virus have receded, at least to some extent, but now we have all kinds of other things going on in the country that make people wonder what the future holds. Well, in the epistle reading that we just heard, we heard about the saints of the Old Testament and how they triumphed in the faith. But when you, if you paid attention, you noticed that there were things like them being sawn in half and them wandering around in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, tormented. The fact that you're a Christian is no guarantee that everything in life is going to go good and that it's all going to be happy and sunshine and lollipops. I wish that wasn't the case. I wish I could tell you different, but that's just not the way that it is. But how did they triumph? We're told by faith. But what are we talking about when we talk about faith? Well, if you go to the very beginning of Hebrews chapter 11, you have a definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But what does that mean, you might ask? Well, that would be a good question because it's not abundantly clear what that means. There's different translations that kind of smooth that over, but the word for substance is the word hypostasis, which you might have been familiar with just from Trinitarian theology. But the word hypostasis, in this case, means substance. But how is faith substance? Well, St. John Chrysostom tells us that by faith, we're able to see things that are not seen and create a reality in our hearts that gives us an assurance, just as if we had seen it happen. If I saw somebody commit a crime, I would have immediate knowledge of that. If I told you that I saw someone commit a crime, you would have to believe that what I was telling you was true. But if you had faith in me, if you had the kind of grace-filled faith that we're talking about, it would be as if you had seen it yourself. And that's what faith can do in our life. Faith makes what is hoped for a reality, and it allows us to be as assured of that reality as if we had seen it, as if we had touched it, as if we had tasted it. It's a reality for us. It's concrete. The saints of the Old Testament acted on faith, but we're told that they didn't receive the fullness of the things that they hoped for in their lifetime. So they had this faith. They looked for things that they did not see, and it's not like at the end of their life they got to see it all, and it was just a happy ending. They died in that faith. And we're told, and all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So in the New Testament, we have a better revelation of the reality of that faith. There's a certain sense in which we're still looking for things that we haven't seen yet. We're still looking to see all things under Christ's foot. We're still waiting for the kingdom of God to be established in its fullness. We're waiting for evil to be vanquished and for good to triumph. And all of those things haven't happened yet. But if we have faith, we can act as if we already have seen that happen. We know it's so true that we're a witness to it. As a matter of fact, if you think about how we go about our daily lives, everything we do is by faith. It's just that we place our faith in things that are a lot less trustworthy than God. If you get into a jet plane, you're getting in that jet plane because you believe that the pilot is flying an airworthy jet and that he's going to get you to the destination, that the plane's not going to crash, that some terrorist is not going to blow it up, that the pilot's not going to get crazy and fly the plane into the ground. You have faith, but you could be disappointed because that may not happen. But that's how we have to go about our daily life. If you think about marriage, when you enter into marriage, you're entering into that marriage with the faith that this person is going to keep the promises that they've made to you and that you're going to be able to make a life together. Even though up to this point, you've not had that life yet, but you're operating in faith. And your faith is only as good as the thing that you're putting your faith in. So if you have a trustworthy spouse that you're marrying, then it's like rock solid gold. It's money in the bank. You know it's all going to be good because that person would never let you down. But there's no human that's more rock solid and trustworthy than God. And that's the kind of faith that we have to have. We have to allow ourselves to begin to see with the eyes of faith and to trust in God. And then as we grow in that faith, as we learn to know God better and better, then we come to trust Him more and more, and we begin to have the kind of faith of the saints that we're talking about. We're told by St. Paul that without faith, it's impossible to please Him, to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And also, in the Septuagint, when the prophet Isaiah was speaking to King Ahaz, and he asked him to pick a sign that he would have, and he said, "Oh, I won't test God." Basically, he had no faith. He didn't want to be told by the prophet to do anything other than what he'd already decided. But in the Septuagint, Isaiah says, "If you do not believe, you will not understand." And this is something that the fathers quote a lot. If you don't believe, you won't understand. You have to have faith as the foundation of beginning to come to know God. How do we acquire faith? Well, faith is, in some sense, a gift of God, and so it's not something that we can just generate on our own, but we believe that it's a gift that God is willing to offer to anyone who comes to Him. But it's not as if we can boast in our faith. It's not we can say, "I have such great faith because I'm such a holy person." No, any faith that we have, it's a gift from God, but we do have to cooperate with that grace for it to take root in our hearts and to grow. And we're told by St. Paul that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, if you don't hear the Word of God, if you don't read it, if you don't listen to it when it's being read in the services, you're not going to be able to build up your faith. But is it just hearing and just reading the Bible that's going to build up your faith? No, it's hearing and doing. Because, as I've mentioned before, the Hebrew in the Hebrew language, and you find this in the Bible very often, it'll talk about hearing as obeying. And if you didn't obey, you didn't hear. So those two things go together. So if you hear the Word of God, you're not just listening to it, you're not just reading it, you're obeying it. And if you take the time to read the Scriptures regularly, even though you may have read it 100 times, but read it every day, and then put what you're reading into practice, and of course also read the lives of the saints and the writings of the saints, because really this is a continuation in some sense of Scripture, just not on the same level of authority. But when we look to the saints, when we see their example, when we look at the saints in Scripture, that inspires us to have better faith. We see that it is possible for people to triumph in difficult circumstances, and we can trust God to get us through it. So how did the saints overcome by faith? By hearing the Word of God and by acting on it, by God's grace and by their cooperation and their obedience. The more they heard, the more they obeyed, the more the things that they believed became a reality in their hearts, so that they could act in faith despite the trials that they faced and despite all the circumstances that could have caused them to lose their faith. It's very easy to give in to despair. It's very easy to give in to despondency. But if we keep our eyes on Christ, that won't happen. If we keep our eyes on Him, if we keep seeking Him, if we keep trying to do His word, we will not fall into despair. But when you take your eyes off Christ, like the Apostle Peter in the Gospels, when he was walking on the water and he took his eyes off of Christ and started paying attention to the wind and the waves, that was when he began to sink. But if we keep our eyes on Christ, we won't despair. As St. Paul ends of the epistle reading that we heard, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen."